Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Who is your hero's hero? Have you ever considered that? Who's the person who inspired the person who inspires you? Who mentored the person who mentors you? Who is your hero's hero? One of my heroes is Rudy. Everyone know the movie Rudy? Rudy, Rudy. Great film. If you haven't seen it, it's an inspiring true life story of a man who dreamed as a kid of playing football for Notre Dame. His father loved Notre Dame, so he had this dream. The only problem was he was too small, he didn't have any talent, and he wasn't even smart enough to get into the school Notre Dame, never mind play football. But I love this movie because I could relate to the character. I had this crazy dream that I wanted someday to get up on stage and become a comedian. See, it was at the worst point in my life, lowest point in my life. I had a business failure. I had just graduated college, had this new business. It failed. I lost all this money, moved home with my parents, and I was living in my childhood bedroom. And one of my buddies gave me a motivational tape of this man named Brian Tracy. And he said on that tape, by the way, a cassette tape for our younger viewers, Google it. It's an old MP3, but it's, anyway. So I was listening to the cassette tape, and this man named Brian Tracy asked a question. He said, what would you dare to dream if you knew you wouldn't fail? And I thought, I'd be a comedian. How cool would that be? Get on stage, make people laugh. Then all of a sudden, the little doubting voice on my shoulder said, but that's not you, Darren. You're not funny. Excellent point. But he said, what would you dare to dream if you knew you would not fail? So I decided at the lowest point in my life, I had a business failure, college loans, business loans, living at home with my parents. I had nothing to lose. So I made it a goal and a dream that I was going to at least just try it. So that's why I love the movie Rudy, because that was his character. So 10 years ago, when I moved to Las Vegas, I sat down at my computer and I made out a literal bucket list. And on my bucket list was I wanted to meet Rudy. I wanted to meet the man who inspired me. So I sat down at my computer. I thought, well, let me figure out where he lives, first of all. So I started typing in and, stalking him. And I found out that he had an office 1 mile from my house in Las Vegas. I could walk there. Are you kidding? So I jumped online. I emailed the office. Nothing. I called the office. Nothing. No reply. But if you know the story, Rudy, that didn't stop him. And it wasn't going to stop me. I started asking around of anybody that I knew, somebody who might know somebody who knows Rudy. Finally, one of my speaking mentors, her name is Judy, she knew someone who knew Rudy. So she connected us. And I got to have lunch with Rudy Rudiger, the real guy. I was like a little kid having lunch with Santa Claus. It's like, it's Rudy. I didn't actually do that. But he was inspiring. He lived an inspiring life. And this is a picture that was taken that day. And I didn't actually do that ridiculous dance. But it was so cool. I was doing that dance inside. But what was really cool is when I sat down and had lunch with him, is he told me the story of who inspired him. It was actually Sylvester Stallone. One Sylvester Stallone fan. All right. It's all right. We'll start small. We'll work up. But if you don't know the story of Sylvester Stallone, he actually wrote the film script to Rocky in 3 days. And he decided that he was going to be the star of this movie. So he brought the movie script to all these different movie companies, and he got rejected again and again and again. And some of them liked the movie, but they didn't want him because he was an unknown. But he persisted. In fact, he had to sell his dog just to be able to eat. It's an inspiring story, and Rudy was inspired by Sylvester Stallone. But the story that really moved me the most, that shocked me, actually was when he told me about something that happened with his daughter, Jessica. His daughter, Jessica, had won a chorus contest and got the privilege of singing the national anthem at the beginning of a Lakers game. So Rudy took his daughter to the Staples Center, and they got there 2 hours early. There was no one else in the Staples Center except one person, Kobe Bryant. And Kobe was sitting there shooting baskets 2 hours, and none of his teammates were around. So Rudy looks at his daughter and says, "Hey, do you want to go meet Kobe Bryant?" And of course, his daughter was, she's a celebrity, of course. As soon as they started walking towards Kobe, security stopped them. But that didn't stop Rudy. Rudy yells out, "Hey, Kobe, it's Rudy." Kobe stops. "Rudiger? Yeah." Kobe actually walks over to Rudy and proceeds to tell him that when he was playing amateur basketball in Europe, he would actually go home after practice every day and watch the movie Rudy over and over and over again. And he thought, if a guy with no talent can work that hard and accomplish what he did, how much could a man accomplish if he had talent and worked that hard? He turned to Rudy and said, "I'm here 2 hours early because of you." What? Are you kidding? A guy who played football for 27 seconds inspired one of the greatest basketball players of all time. This is a picture. It was in Sports Illustrated from that day. Kobe turned to one of the staff members. He said, "You want to know who was the biggest influence in my life? That man right there, the real Rudy Rudiger." You see, you don't have to be a hero to inspire a hero. I look at it this way, that whether we like it or not, we're sponges. And what Rudy was realizing is he just kept working it. What Kobe realized was, let's just say this is bad or negative thinking and negative habits, bad habits, and this clear water represents inspiration, motivation, good habits, wisdom. So what Kobe was doing is every day after practice, he was sponging and getting re-inspired. Why? Because a guy who's one of the best guys on the court without even trying, he wanted to work harder to be better. See, we all need to learn from that. What can we do to be better? But what are we sponging? See, the people around us, the things we listen to, TV, radio, it affects us. It affects who we are. And we affect the people around us. This represents who you and I are. And we're a collection of everything we've ever sponged our whole lives. So I told you my crazy dream. In the 90s, I tried to do stand-up comedy. Back in Boston, that's where I lived. And once I made the decision, I went to my mentors, the best headliners in Boston, and I asked for advice. And I was just a sponge, leaning in, trying to learn more. And they told me the most important thing is stage time, stage time, stage time. They said, "Darren, any day that you don't get on stage is a day that you don't grow." But what if I bomb? "Darren, any day you don't get on stage is a day that you don't grow." Dave Fitzgerald was one of my mentors. He was awesome and amazing. But it wasn't because of the guy he was on stage that I loved him and he was my hero. It's because of who he was off stage. See, where I was as the wannabe and the headliners, they don't usually talk. There's like a caste system. Like, you're not supposed to talk to wannabes. But Dave was different. He had wisdom, and he didn't care who was a headliner, who was what. You were a person to him. That's why he was my hero. Now, at that point in my career, I was just starting to realize I didn't love that comedy thing. What I really wanted to do, which I had no idea that was even a profession, was to be a professional speaker. I had no idea. But I found out about it, and I started going to conferences to learn and try and study and find out who I could learn from. Well, my buddy Dave, meanwhile, had flown to L.A., and he started living there, and he wanted to become a star. See, once you're a headliner in any city, now the next thing is to be a movie star. So he moved there, and let me explain, too. The reason Dave became a comedian is because he used to speak at AA meetings, and he used to use his humor and his stories to inspire people. He loved that part of it. When he was being a comedian, he was getting $200 a night speaking in front of drunk hecklers. Like, he didn't love that, but that's what he did. I started realizing about this speaking thing. Well, he went to LA. He was up for a couple of big parts, but he flew back to Boston to headline this show, and I was the opening act for him. And he was telling me how he hated it, that they didn't get him auditions, his agents in L.A. No, what they did is they sent him to Hollywood parties, and they just wanted him to attend the party and be funny so he'd be discovered. He said, Darren, I hate it. This is disgusting. I want to go back to what I used to do at AA, where I could affect people's lives. As soon as he said that, something changed in me. I was sitting at that comedy club, and when he said that, I realized that, Dave, I can't help you, but I found some people who can. There's this guy named Alan. You need to go learn from him. He's speaking tomorrow morning at the New England Speakers Association. Like, he can help you. I don't know what to do to tell you, but I do know you need to talk to him. You need to spend time with him. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I knew my energy and enthusiasm got him to go to that meeting the next morning. After he did, he became one of the best motivational speakers in New England. He loved his life because now he wasn't in comedy clubs. He was in front of conventions and conferences, getting paid 10 times what he was at the comedy club. And he loved his life because he was inspiring people. So my question to you is, what are you sponging? What area of your life would you like to be better? We all have something that we would like to be better, but what are you sponging? A lot of us aren't even aware of how the people around us affect us. When I was a wannabe in both speaking and comedy, I was a telemarketer at Bose Corporation. I used to sell the Bose Wave Radio, and I worked at one of those cube farms. And one day they told us, the boss told us, they were going to change our commission. Well, that was most of my pay, and it was going to affect my income, and I was not too happy, but I knew that I had a bigger dream, so I wasn't long for there, but that's horrible, but okay. And so I went to lunch with my coworkers. That's what you do. You go with the people to work in your department, you go on break with them, and the whole break, however, my coworkers were complaining. Oh my gosh, do they not realize how this is going to affect their income? How am I going to pay for gas? I have to pay for my kids' education. This isn't right. This isn't fair. They don't have to be on the phone with these angry customers. They don't know what it takes. They just care about the money. By the end of lunch, I was mad. I was fuming. I was the one who went in the boss's office and tore him a new one. I was sponging from my coworkers, but I forgot, I chose to sit with them. What are you sponging? One of my favorite quotes is by this man named Jim Rohn. He was actually Tony Robbins' hero. He was the guy who inspired Tony and taught Tony a lot of what he did. But he says this, you are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. You are the middle bowl, the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. Financially, happiness, health, think about it. Who are your top five? Who are the top five people in your life? Your family, your kids, your friends, who's in your top five? Think about this. If your top five had mostly people who would eat a lot of fast food, would you be more or less likely to eat fast food? Probably more. If you, in your top five, you had five people who exercised a lot, would you be more or less likely to exercise? More. If you were surrounded by five people who love to party too much, would you be more or less likely to party? Of course. Even if you say and make it a discipline that you're not going to, eventually that day is going to come that you give in and they affect you. So let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about this. So I love this from Proverbs. By the way, Proverbs, if you don't know Proverbs, Proverbs is wisdom from King Solomon, one of the wisest kings to ever live. Other kings came from other countries just to hear him talk. And they captured some of his wisdom. And if you like motivational, inspirational quotes, this is like an ancient motivational quote book, the book of Proverbs. It says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companions of fools will suffer harm." See, it's saying the same thing. Who's in your top five? Who are your companions? You know, we tell our kids, you know, don't go hang out with those kids. Don't hang out with the wrong crowd. We tell our kids that, but we think that, well, it won't affect us. I know. But it does. It does. Continue. Another proverb. "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare." Who are you hanging out with? Who do you need to sponge less from? Who do you need to sponge less from? Another proverb here. "Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. The people around us affect us. And if you know the story of King Solomon, God asked King Solomon, "What could I give you?" And King Solomon actually replied, "Wisdom." God was shocked and happy. And in Chronicles, God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor the death of your enemies, and since that you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people for whom I've made you king." Think about that. God's realizing he didn't ask for all the things that most people would ask for: greed, killing their enemies. Nope, he asked for wisdom. And he continues, "Therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you, and I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who has before you ever had, and none after you will have." Whoa. He asked for wisdom, and God gave him the wealth, the honor. He gave him everything he wanted, even though he just asked for wisdom. And that was really cool, and he ruled for a long time, and he had an amazing life, and other people came from miles and miles to hear him talk. However, the rest of the story goes, Solomon had 700 wives. 700. I started thinking about that. I'm like, he had to have wisdom. How do you get number 698 to say yes? You're very special. Don't mind the other 697. Are you kidding me? Of course he had wisdom. Then it continues. "There were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, 'You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods.' Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to love to them in love. He had 700 concubines of wives and of royal birth, and 300 concubines. His wives led him astray." God asked him to do one thing: honor no other god but me. He gave him everything he wanted, but that wasn't enough. See, if a guy with all the wisdom in the world can be led astray by the people around him, by the people he's sponging from, what chance do you or I have? You know, I started thinking about it. I was like, what, is he crazy? God spoke to him. Okay, message pretty clear. God gave him everything he wanted. That's pretty awesome. God said, don't marry these wives from this other country because of their gods. And he didn't listen. I'm thinking, like, hashtag duh. And then I thought about my life and all the prayers God answered for me. And yet often I do a lot of things that God told me not to do. There's so many stories in the Bible that we can all relate to. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David, his father, had done. I learned from my buddies about stage time. Stage time, stage time, stage time. Excuse me, from my comedy heroes. But my high school buddies would make fun of me when they heard I was driving 2.5 hours to get stage time for 5 minutes for free and drive home and go to my day job the next morning. My high school buddies used to make fun of me. So they would say, Darren, you're stupid. You're an idiot. Why would you do that? Why not just go get a job? Who do you need to sponge less from? So if we look at it this way, those people in your top five, whoever they are for you, what I needed to do was take those guys who would set those seeds of doubt in my head, even my family. I love my buddies. I didn't get them out of my life completely. I just moved them to the outer circle so they could influence me a little less. Because they would plant those seeds of doubt and I would hear that. So what I did, well, if we look at it this way, just by giving them less influence, I grew. Just by taking a couple people with those negative people in your life, just by putting them in the outer circle, you'll grow. Why? Because you'll have less doubt. You'll have less people sponging into you because you chose to be around them. Now you're halfway there. Who do you need to sponge more from? I love this passage, so straight and direct. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the ways of sinners, or sit at the seat of mockers. Psalms 1. This is Brian Tracy. He's the guy who had that motivational cassette that I listened to, that I would sponge to over and over again. That when my buddies said, Darren, you're stupid, I would get in my car, get away from them, and I would listen to Brian say, dude, you got this. Be careful who you listen to. It's your dream, not theirs. You choose your life. Don't let these other people take care of you. Don't let them bother you. You got this. So it's almost like I had to drown it out. When I heard the voice of doubt, I had to drown it out. Being around people who would give me influence in the direction I wanted to go. So what I did is I replaced my friends with someone who would get me where I want to go, someone who would help me be better. So Brian and Dave, my mentor. About 6 years ago, I was at a place in my life where I was not really happy. I was traveling around doing speaking, and I loved the speaking part, but I was just stressed out, wasn't happy. And honestly, because of the speaking thing, I was getting a little bit big of myself. I had a lot of ego going on. And then about 6 years ago, my friend Mike, who plays in the band sometimes, Mike Rayburn, he invited me to come to Verve. Now, you have to understand my background. I was a strict Catholic. Like, I grew up, I had never gone in any other church in my life. Just Catholic. Imagine how I felt when I walked in here. What? I saw drums and guitars. I'm like, no, where's the organ? Ave Maria. Like, that's what I knew. That was a church. There's no, like, precious moments, pictures of Jesus around here. Like, this isn't a church. This is a nightclub. That's what this is. You got the neon lights around the edge so you don't trip. But I felt something here. For the first time in my life, it was like walking into a room where I felt no judgment. The people here just loved me where I was at, as messed up as I was. And that was a cool feeling, and it got me coming back again and again. On February 19th, 2014, I got baptized right over here. I started reading the Bible just 10 minutes a day, just a little bit more. See, as a Catholic, there's nothing wrong with that, but I realized I only knew the quotes that the priests would say every week. I never sat down and read the Bible. So I decided that I would spend a little bit more time with God. So I just read one passage a day. And then Vince, a couple years ago, asked me to be in a Verve group. I was like, Verve group? What? Wait a minute. Okay, here is where they're finally going to get me to drink the Kool-Aid. They were just sucking me in, being nice to me and loving me where I was at. Now, I am on to you, Vince. There's a lot of truth to that. But he put up with me, loved me where I was at. So I'm kind of a commitment phobe, which is probably another reason I'm not married, without the wisdom too. But I committed to 3 meetings. I said, I'll go to 3, but that's it. See if you're going to do the brainwashing. And so I gave myself an out. And it was really amazing what happened in my life. Just going to the Verve group, again, 6 to 16 people, just people who are on a path, people who are messed up as you, and a lot of them more messed up than you. Well, some of you. But that's okay. My Verve group, they just love me where I'm at. They know more about me than anybody should. And I love them. I trust them. When I did start reading some of the passages from the Bible, I don't know if you've ever had this before, or if you knew, or if you haven't even read, I would read a passage and I would be like, I got nothing. I have no idea what I just read. So I read it again. I read it a third time. I don't know. And so what's really cool is the Verve Catalyst explains the passages to you. So in my office, my office manager knows that sometimes when I get overwhelmed, if we have to learn a new app or something or a new computer thing, and I get overwhelmed, I'm like, we got to darren it down. Means we got to make it simple. I'm a simple man, and I love the Catalyst. The Catalyst, I feel like, was made for me because it helps explain things exactly what I'm reading, and it just makes so much more sense than me trying to figure it out myself. So you can check out vervecatalyst.org, or like me, I downloaded the app, the Verve app, but whatever works for you. It's just an idea. It's one thing that you could do to just sponge a little bit more. I know that I needed a little bit more from my groups. Here's the problem. As adult learners, we say we want a better life. We really, really do. We tell people we want a better life, or we want to fix or part of our life that's not maybe where we want it to be. But we have this problem, and it's called an ego. This is your ego bag. And one of my other heroes, Zig Ziglar, says ego stands for edge God out. And we say we want a better, we want wisdom. I really do want to change my life. Of course, then I can't complain and get people to feel sorry for myself, but I want to learn, I want to learn, I want to learn, I want to get better, 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 and nothing changes because of the ego. The only time we really change is when we hit rock bottom or get really close. I believe you reap what you sow. Got to think on that one. That is nowhere in the Bible, by the way. That's just, you reap what you sow. So if I look at it this way, now what I've done in my life is I want to fill it up with my Verve group and God in the Bible. And now, because I told you I traveled around the world, and I go back to places I've spoken before, and people come up to me now and say, you're different. You're so much more calm. You're so much more at peace. And you don't have that ego you used to. And I really think that's the reason why. But it happened so subtly, I didn't even notice. But it was really cool that other people pointed it out to me. So do you care about your top five? Your kids, your friends, your family. Do you want to help them out? See, do you think if you started doing something, you're more or less likely to get them to consider it? Especially if you do it consistently. If you started exercising more, you would eventually, the people around you, be like, oh, well, see if they stick with it. All right, maybe I'll try it. But if you did that with maybe a little bit of sponging the Bible, just a little, you don't even have to put it in their face, just read, they'll notice, people will notice. But do you want to up the average of your top five? Best way to do that? Up yours. Okay. No Blazing Saddle fans here. Okay, that's fine, that's fine. A little old reference, but anyway. So I talked about my buddy Dave, and that night that I told him and I got him connected to where he needed to be connected with the right guy to teach him. Dave loved his life. And before he passed away, he gave me this picture. And if you read it, it says, Darren, you have affected my life in a way that cannot be measured. The direction I'm going in now is because of you. That's like so cool. To actually help a mentor, just get them in the right place and connected to the right people. Who do you know that could use a little bit more connection, maybe to us or to God? You don't have to be a hero to inspire a hero. Who are my heroes now? Those guys. That's my Verve group. Tony, Mark, Scott, Vince, Mike, and me. Notice Vince needs to grow a little. Thank you for that one clap. Yeah, where can we put Vince in the picture? And let's give him the one light-colored shirt so he really stands out. Anyway, here's what I'm saying. Whether you're a believer or not, it doesn't matter. We'll meet you where you're at. I'm just inviting you to spend a little more time with God and other believers. Like I said to Dave that night, I can't help you, but I know some people who can. They're right here in the room. We want to meet you where you're at. We want to help you. I invite you to just go talk to people at the Verve, the Velcro bar. You don't even have to commit to the Verve group. Just have a conversation. Check it out. If you don't have a Bible, we give them away for free. If you connect a little bit more with God, with the Bible, with other believers, God will change your life so that you can be better. If this is where you're at now, if you just spend some time sponging, God will forgive you. God will let you know that you are enough right where you are, right who you are. God will make the change. All I'm saying is, you reap what you sow. And you choose what you sow. The people around you affect you, and you affect the people around you. What one little change could you make to be a little bit better sponge? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for bringing us here today. And God, if somebody's here in the room and needs help, needs to talk to someone, please let them just have the courage to come and just have a conversation. Just let us know that they're there and we can help them. And God, help us look at our top five and realize that maybe there's somebody in our top five that's not serving us. And maybe we don't have to get them out of our life, but maybe just put them a little bit farther away. So God, we can make room for you. And if there's any way, God, that you can let us know that you want to be in our top five, just show us that. Show us how and what we can do, and just let us know you're there. And forgive us for sometimes taking some of the things you do for granted. God, thanks for bringing us here this morning, and help us throughout the rest of the day. Help us know how we could reap what we sow. Thank you for this time. In your name, Jesus Christ, amen.